So welcome to Office Hours. We're going to go ahead and get back on track and get over to the questions after talking about dishwashers and pain products. If you want to hear the pre-Office Hours chat, arrive 5 minutes early. I talk about random stuff. So we're going to go ahead and go through questions. There are some questions in the chat. I'm going to go ahead and check the pre-question sheet because I was linking that around to a certain someone and they might have dropped some stuff on there. I realized I didn't check it last week, so I need to go ahead and check it. Oh, there is a question here, but it is not by that person. So we have a question on the sheet from Niels, who says, could the app Nios the Universe be re-uploaded to the Oculus Store if not already done? A couple of guys report issues. I believe they're referring to the earlier version of Nios the Universe that was put on the Quest Store by Fruks. I don't know the status of that or anything about that. Suffice to say, it won't probably be touched for the foreseeable future due to the ongoing stuffies. Yay! I'm going to go ahead and mark that question as resolved, and we'll get on with the questions that exist in the chat. So scrolling up through the chat to look at questions. Egg Rollface says, what is your favorite snacking cheese? Recommendation says 60 seconds or less. I don't answer questions about cheese. It's kind of a meme. So we'll move on. Pyronic says, have you heard of Git work trees? I just recently discovered them. Seems useful for working on different features, bug branches. Yes, I've used them extensively over the 10, 12, I don't know, I'm getting old a bit, years of my career. I've used them extensively. They are great when you use them. There are a lot of stuff that you don't need. There's this amazing flow called Git flow, and everyone's like, oh yes, use Git flow, it is beautiful, blah 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 blah, and it's just really complicated. The important thing to do though is to start a branch when you think that the master branch might get dirty. And that includes when you're working with other people. So if you've got multiple people working in your project, always be on a branch, right? The master branch should be what everyone is pulling from, and everyone else should be on their own branches. And I don't care what they're named, just make sure that they're named something. A branch should only have commits associated with one individual feature on it. Don't do what I see some people do, which is when they start work at an organization, they make a Git branch, which is just like their name, and then they put all of their commits on there, and periodically they'll do pull requests and like merge that back in. That is so messy. Make a branch for each feature, please. Realized I was calling it the old master branch name. Most Git places have now renamed the master branch to main. Apologies for that one. That's still affecting me because some older repositories I dealt with at work were unable to be updated, and so it's just like, I have no idea. But if you make a GitHub repo these days, by default, the main branch will be called main rather than master. Let's move on. Oh, if you want to know what we do at Nios as well, we do branches. Whilst Fruks was the only developer, branches were uncommon, but I've been teaching Fruks the way of branches. I've also been teaching Fruks the way of atomic commits. Atomic commits are where basically each commit that you make to a Git repository needs to be sort of as isolatable as possible. An example for this might be commit one for a feature is introducing a new file, like a new file to the code base. It just introduces the new file and some of the basic building blocks for that file. It doesn't use that file anywhere, it just introduces that file. And then the next commit might be adding that file to other stuff so it's actually integrated or stuff like that. It's depends on the exact patterns and development of the language you're doing sometimes, but it's good to just make it like easy for people to see what an individual commit does. Oh, and squash merge, when you merge stuff on GitHub, squash merge. Moving onwards away from high technical programming stuff, because I know you're here for the Neo stuff, we'll go on to the next question. Rusia says, can you describe how cache hit miss system works? What's the primary identifier? Is it based on idea, hash, or random value? Don't actually know. I'll go ahead and add that one to my list of questions I just can't answer. As part of Neo, I just haven't looked at. That's one of the cases. I did look at the way that we did, so we have like really extensive code that deals with username clashes. So it's common for, you know, people who are just writing a system, they're just like, hey, if this username equals this other username, you can't register it, right? You have the same name. Like, no one can register Fruxius as their username on Neos. We go a step further than that, though, and we will take a look at how Fruxius is represented in other alphabets. So we take a look at the Russian alphabet, the various Japanese and Korean alphabets, and Chinese as well, just to make sure that, like, when we translate those names into different alphabetical systems, there aren't any clashes as well. That's actually really cool. If you want to pronounce like a Japanese phrase, I'm not good at Japanese, so, like, you know, if I want to pronounce one of those phrases, I can put it through that system and it tells me what their name is, you know. It's really cool, and I was taking a look at that. Like, I put in Japanese characters and I got out the romanization of that, which was really cool. Wrote some tests for that the other day as well, because I was messing with it. And I had to put through like a bunch of stuff. So I went to like a name database website and chucked a bunch of names in. Okay, so next we have a question from Electronus, which is a great opportunity for me to like make a very clear point. So Electronus says, to add to this, how does clearing the cache not mess badly with the database? So there are actually two folders. There's that data location and there's that cache location. They're often confused or overlapped or referred to as the same thing, and it causes problems both in support and dealing with those support issues when people give like solutions to problems or instructions. Sometimes one will be deleted and not the other one. So the database is a collection of, it's actually just like a big database, the literal definition of the word, of like everything that you've basically seen or saved in the S. And it's then trying to keep in sync with the cloud database. Hiccups today, I'm sorry. And so syncing those across is very difficult. That's why sometimes you get cache conflicts or corrupt caches and stuff like that. I have only once had a corrupt cache and only once had a syncing issue, and both occurred during the VRChat boom. I wonder why that might be. I don't know. Everyone else seems to have those difficulties all the time, and I don't. And I do apologize for them. I want to see what we can do to improve those when we're able to. Now, the cache, though, is just like randomly downloaded stuff. And if you delete that, it's not as bad because you're not messing with the database, you're messing with cache. I don't really know how else to answer that question. What I wanted to do, though, is say, hey, please stop deleting that. When you are encountering a problem in computing, and many other places, actually, you have three choices. You can fix the problem, you can ignore the problem, or you can remove the problem, in which in computers is usually delete. So when you restart a computer, for example, when everyone's like, oh, have you tried restarting your computer? All that does is delete the problem. It will just, you know, flush all the guts of the computer, flush everything out of the memory, close any applications, and restart them. So it just deletes the problem. So if a problem occurs after restarting it, often support desk agents will be like, could you try restarting again? And I'm like, no, like, that's not going to do anything. Then they'll move on to, could you try reinstalling it? Which again is just deleting the problem. That flushes the guts of the computer with all the files that were involved in that particular application and reinstalls it. I would always rather that you do ignoring the problem or fixing the problem rather than deleting the problem. Ignoring it's totally fine. Like, for example, my Windows lock screen has had the same photo on it for like 6 years, and I hate that photo because it's the first thing I see every morning, right? I haven't had coffee yet, and I see that lock screen photo. I want to change it, but I can't remember how because I prevented Windows from doing its thing where it's like, here's the photo of the day. It's from a quaint beach in Hawaii and it's beautiful. I didn't want to see that stuff. I'm just like, stop doing that. But I didn't realize that would lock it down to one photo that's been there for 6 years, but I'll fix it when I can. So please follow all the troubleshooting steps through in order. And if a NIOS team member then tells you to delete or clear your cache or a mentor does or whatever, etc., that's fantastic. But make sure you do the previous steps first because you'll actually learn something. You'll learn something. When you fix programs, you learn something. I had an issue with, I can't even remember, something to do with like a plugin in OBS, and I fixed that by actually making a fork of that plugin and releasing it on my GitHub because I'm like, hey, I learned a lot doing that. Moving forwards. Oh, I don't mean to shut you down, Necrophase. It's just like we're meant to be talking about NIOS, and then the meme started of like, yeah, cheese is my thing, but I didn't talk about it, and so now it's just a meme. So Tiki says, I've seen many export formats for avatars, but I don't know much about them. Is there one that could be useful to be able to import my avatar back into other games? No. Avatars that are imported into NIOS are, for lack of a better word, garbled from an outside of NIOS perspective. That isn't something that will be permanent. Maybe there'll be a way to do it in the future, but right now it is not. It's actually a strange security feature as well. It's like an unintentional security feature, right? You can't export the avatar to other platforms without losing rigging information. So you'll lose bone data, and I believe you lose weight painting as well. So if you export it back out, you'll just get like a static mesh, which then you'd have to re-rig. So that's cool. That might change in the future. I am struggling here. Where's my water? Okay, I should be less vocal when it comes to dying now. Yeah, that may change in the future. We'll see. Interoperability is, of course, the big buzzword when it comes to metaverses. Moving forwards to Alex from Alaska, I'm going to upload some photos. I did share these in Mentor Discord yesterday because it was topical and front of mind. I am working with SHFR. That's user by the name of SHFR, but their actual name is Hamish, and we do science together, and our science resolves around whatever the hell you can think of that is not video game related. So this was my view of a NIOS world yesterday, and if you can guess what I was doing, Fantastic. If you don't know what I was doing, you'll have to wait until the end of this office hours. Well, I'll tell you. There we go. I'll give you some time to play some games, see if you can figure it out. Zlinka and DMX and Earthmark and a few others, you're excluded from that because you know you were there. So I'll leave that at the bottom of the scroll buffer and come back to once I've got through the rest of the question. Mystic says, how has documentation regarding the recent events been going? I've seen some really useful videos from both the team and users, but other than pre-planned videos, are there videos you think would be otherwise be worth users making? There's like two questions there. So like documentation regarding the recent events is difficult. We don't want to put out any more information that is like really big, like those announcements, because like really nothing has changed, right? See the announcements channel for any updates there. As for the second part of that question, make content. Like I've been really happy to see Svekin's videos where he's just like, there's a gap, I'll make a video about this. I've been really happy to see Basement Nerd's videos where it's like, hey, there's a gap here, there isn't an introduction to logic, so I'll make that. And I was really, really happy to see Engie's video where it's like, here is a tutorial browser, which many people weren't aware of, apparently, that Alex made, which means you can watch all the videos inside Neos. And what's great is you can watch videos from all those creators because you can just add playlists to the system. So just make videos. If you don't understand something and then do understand it, make a video about it. That's how all my like earlier tutorials are made. Like I learned how the object grid aligner worked, so I made a video on it. I learned how the axis aligner worked, so I made a video on it. Fruks taught me dynamic impulses, so I made a video about it. Moving forwards, Dickie's talking about Git, the version control library, not Canadian Git. There's lots of names and stuff that exist. There's like Neos moderators, short form mods, and then there's Neos mods, which are the modifications to the Neos that we allow, which VRChat doesn't allow. So they're being talked about a lot, and the words just get sort of like, ah. So I've been trying to use the term moderator a little bit more to make things clearer, or like enunciating mods a little bit differently to make it clear, but hey, maybe it's not clear still. Yeah, Git is cool. If you are looking to do computer programming, you'll eventually need a version control system, and Git is the way to go. There are others that are used for different cases. For example, if you're using an Unreal game, usually you use Perforce, but hey, if you're just writing code, Git's cool. Learn Git. And yeah, Canadian Git's also a chill dude. Moving forward to Anadir's question, or Anadia, I'm sorry, pronunciation is not my forte. Hopefully this makes sense. So assets on your avatar are stored in the asset roots of the world. Wouldn't that mean anyone who can edit the world could copy your avatar's parts and reassemble them from assets in the directory, even if it's a protected avatar? Yes and no. There are protections that exist on those assets. Additionally, there is no white painting or armature data up there in the asset system. Do remember as well that the simple avatar protection system that we have is simple, and that's why it's named Simple Avatar Protection. It was quite diligently named that way. It is not watertight, and there are ways to break it, but it will remind you that there are ways to break any protection system. We do want our protection system to get better and to get more stronger, get strong. The features that would enable that are combined, sort of the license ID system and the hard permission system. Yeah, I think that's a good enough answer. If you have any other things, please do let me know. Zari says, mandatory to allow different aspects. It is. It's really strange how there are a lot of software programs that don't do what they need to do. A good example, and another example being right to left support. So there are a bunch of languages, more than you know. I mean, there are obvious ones like, I think Hebrew does it. I'm sorry if that's wrong. Arabic most certainly does, because that's the one that always tripped us up at Mixer. That read right to left. And so suddenly your entire UI needs to be mirrored and work right to left. But there are lots of like UI elements that are designed for a left to right world. If you think about the just the simple like a dialogue box appears and it has the OK cancel buttons, with OK usually on the left and cancel usually on the right, does that make sense in a right to left world? Don't know. It's very challenging. So yeah, there's lots of stuff people just don't do. They don't think about it. When we needed to support right-to-left languages at Mixer, we just got the localization package back, which is in all the strings translated into Arabic, I think it was, loaded them into Mixer, ran the page, and then just went, shit. Because, like, things were overflowing everywhere, UI were, like, backwards and forwards and upside down, it didn't make any sense, and it's just like, this is a big project, and it was. We had, like, two or three engineers working on it for ages, and they had to go back to design frequently and go, what should things look like when this is in a right-to-left world? Electronis says, well, as you mentioned, the database has everything that you have since. So I was wondering how it deals with presumably looking at files that no longer exist. If they no longer exist, there's usually a record of where to get them from, so it will re-download them. I do need to look into that more, particularly seeing as Fruks changed that up a little bit and wants to change it up more. There are thousands of code files in this code base, and sometimes I'm just like, I don't know what that file does. Scrolling down, people are saying, please don't die. That's great. Oh, we got to the pictures. Excellent. Let's see if someone got it right. Riccio got it right. Titanium bone plates. Yes. So with Hamish, I am working on really complicated stuff, actually. So if you have a jaw injury or a jaw disease, such as like, you know, bone cancer or something in the jaw, they can actually rebuild your jaw using the smaller leg bone that you have, the fibula. I think that's the right bone name. I always forget because there's two. The smaller leg bone kind of isn't needed. And so you can survive without it in some cases. Of course, you're not going to be like a prime athlete or something, but like being able to chew and speak is generally better than you know, being an athlete. So what they do is they remove that entire bone. They take out that entire bone and then they chop parts of it off and then they format it back onto your jaw in segments. And then they use a plate to align that to the jaw and screw it together such that it holds there. And then eventually the bones will fuse together, etc. But the plate there is to hold it together. And currently the most common use of the plate is a standard plate. It looks like a bike chain. It is standard for all surgeries. And they just bash it around a bit like sort of a blacksmith to try and get it to fit the shape of your jaw. A new approach, though, is to make a custom titanium plate for your jaw. Which is molded and modeled customly, usually in a very painstaking process. And we're trying to make that process easier, and Neos is allowing us to sort of explore doing that. So the pictures above are a plate creator tool I have, which allows you to segment a plate onto any model. We're using a sphere for testing just because a sphere has lots of angles and I needed to test angles. And then you can bake that model, send that out to the desktop application where it needs to go through processing to make it actually printable, and then you send it to a metal 3D printer, and then you print it, and then you affix it to someone's jaw, or at least that's the plan. That will enable better surgeries with less screws, because the regular plates have screw holes like every like centimeter, and it's really annoying. But yeah, it's really cool. I don't see any additional questions. I will run down the rest of the comments that we've got here. Let's see. Glad to see that you thought that basement and NG's videos were a surprise. Mystic, I like them too. Sometimes mods have mods. Yep, they sure do. Sorry, said that they might have or you know have had in the past side a job and see that people use Subversion. Subversion, also known as SVN, that's another good version control system. It's okay. I prefer like Git's just winning basically, but like SVN's okay. CVS, not the pharmacy, but Central Version Control System. Terrible. Don't use that one. There's another one called like Mercurial or something. I haven't used that one though. The other point with like Git and stuff like that is that you can do code reviews remotely. I used to work for 5 months at a software company where they did only in-person reviews. It was horrible. I'm not that big on personal space invading. I'm not sure anyone is these days, but like obviously like other it affects more people than most. I hate it. And the way that code reviews worked at that company I worked at for 5 months was, before you could commit the code to a branch, your own branch, no idea why, someone would have to come to your desk and review it side by side with you. I hated that. I'm like, can we please do code reviews another way? Like, I'll email the diff files to someone. I don't care. Like, please don't come to my desk. Leave me alone. It was horrible. Anyway, moving forwards. Yeah, that runtime says you got to ask that when you're interviewing. Yes. Do you remember that when you're job interviewing, if you need to job interviews, I have so much insight about how to do them properly and stuff like that. I will give you some hints, and here's one hint. You are interviewing the interviewer as much as they are interviewing you, and your questions that you ask them are as good, if not better sometimes, than the questions that they are asking you for understanding you and seeing if you're a fit at the company. So if you want to like make them sweat a little bit, which is good, right? Because you're sweating, you're nervous, it's a job interview. Make them nervous. Ask them what the work-life balance is like. Ask them what their day-to-day looks like. Ask them about the last time there was a stressful situation at work and how the company mitigated that, which is very important. If your company that you're working for isn't mitigating stressful situations, then they don't deserve to employ you. Every company should take action to reduce stressful situations, not increase them. So it's just couple of questions there that are interesting. And then, yeah, ask about their tech stack, right? It's interesting. I wish I'd done that before I joined the workplace I worked for 5 months. Anyway, moving on. I don't see any other questions. So if you have any questions, do let me know. We have about 8 minutes left. Kind of short office hours today. I just saw a quote channel ping from Lex, which says, make them nervous. I'm on it. Like, do it, right? If they're nervous, then you've done the right job. Oh, another thing to look out for as well, particularly if you're in like my industry for interviews, is often they'll give you a take-home assignment. Watch those take-home assignments. Sometimes they are manipulative or sometimes predatory, so do keep an eye on that. For example, once when I was interviewing, I was given a take-home assignment to make a Redis parser. Redis is a hard-to-explain thing. I don't really know how to explain Redis. I know what I would use it for. I'm very familiar with how I would use it. I just don't know how to classify Redis. It's like a sort of in-memory database thingy that a lot of software companies use for very good reasons, but I don't know the sort of like tagline they would have on it. I just know what I use it for. Anyway, they wanted me to make a Redis client, which could speak the language and the protocols that Redis did, and just see how far I got. And I got like my spidey senses went off, and I'm like, that's a bit weird. Maybe they need a Redis client, and they're hoping that I'll write one for them. So I submitted the code assignment back to them, but I had licensed the code assignment that they gave me as GPL. So I was like, I've done your code assignment, but I've licensed it as GPL, so good luck. For those unaware, the GPL license for code basically means that a company cannot use it for profit that easily. And so what I was basically doing is like, this seems fishy, so I'm going to license it as GPL. And I'm like, okay, I won. And I'll actually do that now for like all coding assignments. I license them as GPL. Additionally, for coding assignments or take-home assignments and job interviews, make sure it's not too aligned to the job that you are doing. I had an interview at another place where the take-home assignment was basically what I'd be doing at the job. And I said, that's unfair. That's consulting because it's too close to the job. I was interviewing for a product manager position, and they were asking me for sort of like ideas and insights on the product that they were building, and they weren't paying me for that. And I'm like, that's not appropriate. As a product manager, you can give me a take-home assignment about an arbitrary problem. For example, a airplane booking system. If your company is doing, I don't know, t-shirts, and you ask me for an airplane booking system product manager take-home assignment, that's fine. But if you're a t-shirt company and you ask me for a product manager take-home assignment about t-shirts, that's bad. I'm giving you free advice. You will pay me for that, or I will not do it. And I've actually said no to a couple of jobs because of that. And change the hiring policies. It's great. I say no, and then the hiring manager is like, but we really liked you. We'll change our hiring policies for you. And I'm like, no, sorry. On principle, I can't. Like, you're asking for consultancy at that point. Okay, there actually are some other Neos questions. So for those who are not in the software engineering land, I will go back to Neos questions. I apologize for that. But some people enjoyed it, so great. Zari says that they had to print out our code and explain it at the meeting table. Yeah, don't print code either. Most teaching best practices is good, but you should take that knowledge and crystallize it into a PowerPoint. And then you can do that a lot easier. Or ideally not a PowerPoint, maybe like a blog article. People misunderstand the like internal documentation part of things. Like, you should have an internal documentation that is as good as external documentation for your software. Like, if someone is new to the company, they should have a wiki or a place that they can go to where it's like, I'm new, help. And there should just be a list of shit that they can like, go look at and feel less new. Moving towards to an actual Neos question. Lord Tremorsan. He says, when will the inventory UI be made better? So the inventory UI is part of our UI rework, which is often misconstrued as bigger or smaller than it actually is. So I'm going to go ahead and link you to the Neos public roadmap board for the UI rework. I've seen a lot of people who will link to the one GitHub issue we have for the overall UI overhaul, but that one doesn't really convey the sort of picture of the UI. So here is Projects 2, which is our UI overhaul. You'll see that there is items on there for doing that. We don't have any plans to currently do that, as we're on a little bit of a freeze when it comes to that. The next thing that we will do on the UI is the settings page. That settings page just allows us to add additional settings. You can see bullet points there in the preparing gathering info segment, which says redesign settings, all sorts of stuff there. Before anyone else asks as well, yes, everything will have a dark mode option. Basically, anything that is light mode is old and needs to be. So that includes the inventory, the contact system, anything else that's like light mode, that includes inspectors. So there'll be a dark mode. There will also still be a light mode thing. It's just like there'll be the possibility to have either depending on which one you'd prefer. But it's a good measure for what needs to be changed. But yeah, the inventory UI will be changed at some point. I can't really answer when. Moving on to Rusia's question. Rusia says, do you have any suggestions on how to mitigate or incorrect local asset transfer issue where local assets uploaded and not transferred to the host or host from others? Okay, checkerboards. I don't, Rusio. I will add that one to my list as well. I'm sorry. I just haven't read that part of the code. Oh, I pasted that into my notepad and it just like pasted a bunch of Discord stuff, including emojis. I didn't need that. Specs, I'm glad to see that you did a point. I'm presuming you mean PowerPoint on Redis, which is a very fast in-memory database cache. That's a great tagline for it. That is perfect sense. I've used it for both of those things. I just couldn't think of the like sentence for it. Moving forwards, I know there's a way to, oh, Lord Tremison again, I know there's a way to upload pictures very easily from PC to NEOS, but it's a way to download a picture from NEOS to PC. Yeah, grab the picture, open up your context menu, and it'll say save a screenshot. That'll go to your home folder, which is like your wherever all your shit is, and inside the pictures folder, there'll be a folder called NEOS VR, and it'll be saved there. If that doesn't work because like it's a picture that's weird for some reason, or you can't use that, there's a tool which is in someone's public folder that you can shoot a picture with and then it'll act like a screenshot and you can save it there. If that doesn't work, as in if that like hold it and then use the context menu doesn't work, you can hold the picture, go to your file browser and hit the plus and it'll start an export window for that picture and then you can export it. I did notice a couple of people doing this, so I will bring it up. I've noticed a couple of people that will do all four of those. So they'll take the picture, which actually saves it twice. It's saved to the Steam screenshot location and your picture's NEOS VR folder. So there's two copies of the photo. Then they'll export it as a screenshot using the context menu item. That's three times that picture's been saved. And then they'll use the file browser to also export it, which means that photo exists four times on their computer. So don't do that. Please choose just one. Moving forwards to No User Found, who says, are there any tools in NEOS you'd like to be more streamlined? Avatar creator, full body creator, anything to do with the slicing materials, I use those all the time right now and I hate them. There's just a bunch of bugs I need to fix. Anything else that needs to be... No, not really. There's lots of stuff that we need to, but like, if you like, you know, if it was like the top list, Avatar Creator, Full Body Calibrator are the top ones. Hamish likes the slicing materials and doing weird stuff with them. I spent 3 hours figuring out the mathematics for one, and I still don't know what's going on. But I did look at it. The volumetric 3D slicey thing that my brain uses, search the world browser for medical, and you can go look at my brain inside NEOS. If you didn't know that, go look at my brain. It's in NEOS. My actual brain. Look for medical in the world browser. That rendering, I think, is a Raymarch shader. I looked at the code. I don't know shader code, but I looked at that, and I'm like, that's the closest thing to Raymarching I've ever read. It's cool. That's all the questions we have, and we are at the end of time. So Mystic and Global, if you have a question, please type it. Otherwise, no more questions. Global Entry says, will there be custom shader support? Sort of. Sort of. We can't do Unity shaders, so you're not going to have Unity shaders. Sorry about that. It also looks like for the initial support of custom shaders, it also won't be writing raw shader code. It will be composing shaders using a shader node graph in a similar way to how Blender does it, which will give you like an immense freedom to make shaders, but won't be raw shader code. And then Mystic says, the curious of dark mode, is any information that can be talked about? No, we haven't really done any designs in that area, but it'll be dark. Thumbs up. With that, I'll go ahead and leave things off and get started on some other stuff. If you have any additional questions, please go ahead and direct message me them. Drop them in the questions and help section. Drop them in the sheet for next week. And always remember, stay awesome. Oh, and NEOS has mirrors. I don't know why I have to say this, but there's a rumor going around that we don't have mirrors. We have mirrors. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.